have seen through the this past Holy Week. He is the risen King, amen? And I am so thankful each and every day that through the grace of the Holy Spirit that my eyes were opened to realize that He is the risen King. There are so many who are still blinded. And we pray each and every day that the Lord, through His grace and through His mercy, will open up eyes and let them see the truth as we see it. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would, open to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And this, today we're going to talk about the strength of Christ, and it kind of carries on from the resurrection and from the crucifixion, because there were so many things that took place during the crucifixion and during the resurrection. Now, salvation is the greatest gift. But there was also so many other gifts given to us as Jesus hung on the cross and as He was resurrected by the Father. Amen. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 reads, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is probably one of the most widely used verses that is taken out of context. This verse does not mean that because we are followers of Jesus Christ that we will never, ever have any problems. It does not mean that we will never fail. What it does mean is we will fail, and if we depend upon the Lord of our, or the strength of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can rise again. Amen? It's not how many times we fail. It's how many times we allow the Lord to pick us up. Amen. He's there each and every time to raise us back up, just like the Father raised Him from the dead. But He can only do it if we allow it. And the only way we can allow it is if we understand that our strength does not come from us. Our strength comes from the Lord. Because He is the only true strength. Amen? The strength that the world looks at and the strength that we sometimes try to use, our own strength, is worthless. It cannot accomplish anything that will stand. So when we use Philippians 4:13, it's wise to put it in conjunction with John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If we can get that to sit right in our hearts and right in our minds and realize that without Jesus, not only can't we do nothing, but really we are nothing. We are not productive in the kingdom of God. And so we must remember that it is through His grace and His mercy that when He died on that cross and He was resurrected, we became heirs. We became heirs of His strength. It was all given to us, even though we were so undeserving of it. But I will confess that I'm also one of those probably millions of Christians who regularly recite Philippians 4:13, but don't look at it as a bad thing, because it's one of the most uplifting, soul-stirring take-on-the-world promises. When we keep it in context and we look at it as how Paul meant it to be when he wrote it, is that we must depend upon the strength of Christ. And He gave it to us. He gives it to us. What a great promise that is. That means that there is nothing that we cannot do through Christ. As long as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. And I'm going to take a minute. I hadn't planned on doing this, but I'm going to take a minute. Because I think the Holy Spirit kind of gets the short end of the stick when it comes to the Trinity. He is God. Now, throughout the Bible, we see God's awesomeness, and we see His power, and we see His creation. And then we see the wondrous miracles of the Son, and we see the sacrifice that God the Son made for us. It's all throughout the New Testament. But there's very little written about the Holy Spirit. And I dare say a lot of churches nowadays don't even think about the Holy Spirit. But yet the Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus said, I will pray to the Father that He send you a comforter, for you won't be by yourself. God has always had a presence on this earth. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, amen? God the Son walked this earth for 30-some years. Now God the Spirit dwells within us and will never leave us. God has promised us to always be with us. So when we think of these things and when things become difficult, let us be reminded that it's God in the form of the Holy Spirit who don't just walk beside, He dwells within us. He knows every single thing that we're dealing with. God Himself chose and chooses to live with me. So let us not forget who and what the Holy Spirit is, right? But there's actually more encouragement in this verse than we might think of at first. You see, Paul wrote these words while facing some of the worst trials of his life. Despite the threat of pain and death, he realized that God gives us strength in many ways. They go beyond the good times and the everything is okay moments. The strength of Christ reaches right down into the turmoil and pain of our lives. That is when His strength is the most prominent in our lives, is when we struggle and when we're in pain and we're lost and we don't know what to do. And so I'm going to just briefly talk about three of these of things that take place that we see God's strength in. And the first is pretty obvious, through trials. It is His strength that gets us through these trials. And you know, the world looks at victory as somebody winning a football game. Somebody's horse ran faster than the other person's horse. And they celebrate it and they get trophies and they get all these things. But guess what? That stuff ain't going to last. And the loser, the guy that came in second, you know, second place is just the first loser. They get upset and they pout. And, oh, if I could have just, Lord, why couldn't you just gave me just that extra burst of speed? They couldn't be content with second place. But we face these trials throughout our lifetimes, but we know that Jesus Christ gives us the strength to overcome them. But you see, our true victories most often come away from the crowds. Our true victories come most often when it's just us and the Lord. When we're at that point where we just don't know what to do and we go to our prayer room, our prayer closet, or wherever it is that you pray to God one-on-one, we go there and we seek Him and He always shows up. And we see the victory, we receive the victory, but most often, no one else sees it. That's why it's so important that we share what the Lord does for us. Because like I said, the majority of the time when He does it in private. He does it when it's just one-on-one. In Christ, we will certainly see joyful times just as everyone does. But what truly sets us apart as followers of Jesus is that we can find victory in the most difficult trials. James knew this better than anyone. And he knew the struggles. And yet he could honestly say, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So in James 1, 2 through 4, James says, count it all joy. Difficult thing to do at times, amen? You know, we read these things and you know, this verse, James says, count it all joy, and it sounds so simple. In reality, it is that simple. But the only way that we can have the mindset and the heart that James has depends upon our relationship with Christ. And we just seen that these trials and these tribulations that we face at times, God doesn't do those because he's mad at us. He doesn't do it because he just wants to see us suffer. He does it to help us grow, to help us learn. The Bible says that when we accept Christ, all things old are passed away, we become new creatures. And I don't know about you all, but whenever I do anything new, I have a little tinge of doubt because I've never done it before, and I don't really know exactly what I'm doing. I thank the Lord for my father-in-law yesterday because I did mechanic work for 20 years, but I never replaced brakes. I can now. I grew a little bit. I seen how he did it, and I'm thinking, wow, that ain't hard at all. And so we must be willing to grow through these trials and tribulations. That's why the Lord gives them to us. And then it also builds our faith and our strength when the Lord brings us out of them. And one thing that we can be assured of is he always will. And one thing that he gives us, another thing that we receive from the cross, we find in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, God gives us all the tools we need. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand. You notice what it says there, so that when that day comes. It doesn't say if or maybe. Jesus is telling us, and he tells us other places in his word, that we will face trials and we will be tested. But the loving God and merciful God that he is, he never sends us into a situation or allows us to enter into a situation that he has not provided us the tools to overcome. And that tool is what? That tool is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is all we need. And if we remember this, then there isn't anything that we can't overcome by the strength of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is the kind of strength that Jesus gives us. Not our strength. Not what the world considers to be strong. But only the strength that comes from our Lord. The second thing is through contentment, we gain strength of Jesus through being content. We must be able to become content with what the Lord has given us. And sometimes it seems like the Lord gives this person a little bit more than he gives me. Or he may give me a little bit more than he gave you. But we have to remember that God is in control and God knows everything, and he has our interest, our best interest at heart. And so we become content with what the Lord has given us. I remember when I was younger, I wanted the new car. I wanted the fancy clothes. I wanted all these things. But for whatever reason, the Lord would tell me no, and I'd say, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. The very first car that I owned that was brand new was a Ford Escort. Brand spanking new. I had a week, and the right wheel, rear wheel, literally fell off. Took it back to the dealership. Oh, that ain't warranty. You hit a curb and messed it up. So when we go against God's will because we want worldly things, and then when the worldly things start to fall apart, we blame him. Now, that does not mean that God does not want to bless us with material things. He does. But we have to become content with what he decides that we should have. There's some people that have been blessed financially their whole lives. And there's some people that have not been blessed financially their whole lives. But guess what? We're sitting in the same place. We have the same God. We're going to the same place. So what I'm saying is what we have here and what we gather here on earth really don't matter much. It's just temporary. So we should become content with what it is that the Lord gives us. Because it's disappointment, setbacks, and delays that keep hammering away at us. Satan wants to take our disappointment. He wants to say, hey, look what he's got. See, God don't love you that much. He didn't give you that. And we have to be to the point where we turn it to Satan and say, you know what? Get out of here. You're nothing but a liar. Because I'm standing on my own two feet only because of the grace of God. I'm breathing only because of the grace of God. It doesn't matter if my bank account's full because my spiritual account is always full because Jesus is constantly making deposits. We become content with what we have. See, in Christ, we move our eyes off the things we don't have, the frustrations that surround us, and we put them where they need to be. Paul's words from prison show this spiritual truth in action. In Philippians 4:12, Paul says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. You know what that secret is? Faith. Trust. Paul, no matter what predicament he was in, when he was doing well, he blessed the Lord and he praised the Lord. When he was doing what the world would consider to be poorly in prison, not having enough food, he still praised the Lord and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord because he had faith. And he had trust that the Lord knew what he was doing and he was giving Paul what he needed when he needed it. And sometimes he blessed Paul with an abundance. And Paul took his abundance and he gave to others. See, we also got to remember this, that we are stewards. Amen? We are stewards. We are God's stewards. Everything that we have, he owns. And so when we are not good stewards with what he entrusts us with, and he doesn't trust us the next time, we can't blame him. But see, God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. So we must be content like Paul was able to become content. So how can we have this type of contentment? By turning our attention from what we think we need to the only thing that truly matters. And that is Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, 32 through 33 puts it like this. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, the world is chasing after these things. It's the most important thing to them. And they're trying to use their own abilities to get them. And they think once they reach that plateau, once they have that money, once they have that big car, once they have that perfect job, they're set. But guess what? It's not enough. The world does not know how to be content. Because contentment only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. That is the only true way that we can be content. Is trusting and having faith that he gives us all that we need when we need it. I get ahead of myself a lot. I just told you that we must be content in the Lord, not in the world. And 1 Timothy puts it really well in chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. And I know I've used this analogy before, but I love it. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? You can't take it with you. And God's Word tells us that everything on this earth, including this body that I'm in, is going to crumble. It's going to fall to pieces. It's going to rust up. When this body is put in the ground, what does it do? It turns back to dirt. So we should not focus so much on worldly things, because we'll never be content that way. We must learn as the disciples learned, to be content in God. Jesus gives us the strength to see beyond our present circumstances and to trust in Him to provide everything we truly need. Amen? And finally, the last thing. We draw strength through our Lord Jesus Christ through His victory. His victory on the cross, His victory as He lay in that tomb, is why we have the strength through Him that we have. He did a lot of things in that short period of time. He died for us so we could have salvation. God the Father raised Him from the dead, and as He was laying in that tomb, He defeated Satan, He defeated death, He defeated all the dark principalities. He became the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the crazy thing is, Satan knows this. Satan knows he's defeated. He knows how the story ends. He knows how the book ends. And so what he wants to do is the same thing that God wants. God says that it is His will that none should die, that all should have everlasting life. Satan wants the same thing. He wants you to have his life. He wants to drag you down with him. That's why this world is so blinded. And yes, God allows it. Because there has to be consequences. And if God fixed everything, we wouldn't seek Him. We would just come to expect. Like our children, kind of. They know when they're hungry, they expect to find food in the refrigerator. See, God wants us to seek Him. He wants us to seek His salvation. And He wants us to share it with the world. I think out of all the things that Christians do in this world, the one thing that we fail at a lot is sharing what God does for us. Why shouldn't we share it? My neighbor has no problem showing me his new boat. Has no problem showing me his new car. I had a neighbor that one day he got a brand new pickup and a boat in the same day. Pulled it in my driveway just so he could show me. And I said, well, I'm glad the Lord blessed you. And you know what his response to me was? I paid for this. I worked hard for this. It wasn't 6 months later, guess what I saw? I seen the repo man at his house, hooked up to his pickup, and the boat hooked to that. He lost it all. He got in over his head, thought he could do better. Didn't work out for him. Our greatest victory, however, isn't really ours at all. We can face any situation and be content no matter what happens because of one important fact. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus died in our place and came back to live as a true conqueror, and all He accomplished gets credited to my account. Everything that Jesus did as He hung on that tree, everything that He did as He lay in that tomb, I get paid for. He gives it to me. That's what I was saying a minute ago. Your bank account may read zero. But if you put your faith and hope and trust in God, your spiritual account will always be full. And that account will not perish. That account will not rust up. That bank can't close. All kinds of things can happen to your money account. Nobody can steal this. Nobody can steal your identity and empty your account. And Jesus did all this for me. And he did it all for you. But you know what else? He did it for the world. For all those out there that do not know Christ as their Savior, he did it for them as well. And it's our responsibility to try and help these people see this truth. We can't save them, but we can sure tell them about him. We can tell them about the one that can save them, amen? And that is something that we should truly do. And in this victory, he also gives us three things, and the first is peace. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus reminds us so many times, and the apostles remind us so many times that we are going to struggle. And we are going to have heartache. But that's all right. Because we're not going to have pain and we're not going to have heartache all by ourselves. We have our church, but more importantly, we have Jesus himself. We have the Holy Spirit, God himself, who dwells with us and walks with us, and he gives us this peace. The second thing is life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. He died for we could have eternal life. Because, you see, we did not have the strength to give ourselves eternal life. We didn't have the power to give ourselves this eternal life. But when Jesus died on the cross, it gave us this life. And there is nothing ever, ever, ever we could be more grateful for. So when your world gets turned upside down and you can't seem to find anything that is good, remember the cross. Remember Jesus hanging there and ask yourself, how can I say nothing is good? He has given me everlasting life. And the best part, it won't be spent here. We'll be in glory with him, experiencing God the way God intended it from the beginning. And lastly, he's a God that gives us a fresh start. He's a God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, or 17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. He won the victory, and we get to share the prize. That is how we can truly do all things through Jesus. So in closing, let us remember this. It is not our strength that sees us from one day to the next. It is not our strength that allows us to wake up in the morning. It's not our strength that gives our lungs the power to provide oxygen for us. It's not our strength that allows our heart to beat each day. But it is the gift of God's strength. And what's so amazing and what's so overwhelming at times is God himself lives with us, in us. So we become more than conquerors. Amen? So don't let the world, don't let Satan get in your head and tell you that you're a failure, that you don't have this because God don't love you. You don't have that because you weren't good enough. When the Lord does bless you, make sure you pray to him and ask him, Lord, show me what to do with this blessing. Because what he blesses you with may be for someone else. Amen. And all this comes about in one manner. That's our relationship. our relationship with God. When our relationship is right, then everything is right. Sometimes it seems to be a little off kilter, but that's okay. As long as our relationship's right, everything's right. Amen? Smile. God loves you. I love you. The church loves you. The world don't know it, but one day it'll love you. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and Father, we thank you for the strength that is given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, as we prepare to leave your house this morning, let us be reminded that it is not us that we draw our strength from. It is not our own inner abilities that we should seek, but it is your strength. And so, Father, for your strength to be used by us, we must conform to your will, and our relationship with you must be a one of a kind type of relationship, a relationship that we have with no other person. And so, Father, help us to continue to build on our relationship and help us to continue to look forward towards you for all that we need. And, Father, when things become hard and difficult, give us this peace that your word speaks of. Let us look to you immediately to find strength. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.